Caribbean, small house. Basically, he can't possibly see what's inside. All he can see is what's outside, some American tourists. This is a piece I did. It's Caspar Weinberger with four Chilean women in a protest against Pinochet. Again, it's about selective vision, about sort of what's perceived and what's not. And again, it's about the other, about women, class, race, and the lack of ability to really acknowledge those things and deal with them, and the difference between knowing them and really experiencing them. And I don't think that women can be by themselves, can kind of achieve a new status without plurality in general in terms of class and race also being acknowledged. And that's it.
Do you have any questions you want to ask us about what you saw, or if you want to tell us anything about your experience?
I think it's kind of interesting how in your work you address gender a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But for me it's kind of confusing. I'm not really sure what it is about gender that you're addressing. Because I guess it's mixed in a lot with race
mm-hmm.
and class.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I can see that there's something there, and I haven't seen all your work. But I mean...
Right. No, I think that I very much address all those issues together, increasingly. At first it was an interest in feminism and in gender only. And increasingly I realized that the same kinds of words and structures are applied to Latin America, say, as to women. Like Latin America is identified with nature, women are identified with nature, blacks are identified with sexuality, women are identified with sexuality. It's the same kind of dualities that are set up. And that whole kind of thinking in general has to be challenged. I don't think you can just like get women out of it. You have to get rid of that thinking as a whole.
Also, you were saying before that you've always been uncomfortable not having an image of reality. I think it's funny how both of your works are political, and you use images. I mean, real images rather than I mean, I didn't see any completely abstract work. Did you do abstract work when you were here? And you said you never really was comfortable with it.
No, I did some, but I never really, I always felt like it was sort of an exercise to learn how to use the paper. It's not satisfying to me. It's, you know, a whole piece.
Would you say that's connected to maybe always having had a kind of politicized art? Because images are,
mm-hmm.
because images are images, they're almost automatic.
Well,
that's
actually,
true.
The truth of it is that I don't think you can make a piece of art that's not political. Because even choosing not saying things, saying something, and even completely not objective art, or art about vases of flowers or something like that, is making a political statement. Because if you look at it historically, the first people that painted vases of flowers in the 16th century, to paint something like a vase of flowers was something really liberating and political in that sense, because before that wasn't done. People painted portraits, or they painted religious scenes, but nobody just painted a vase of flowers. So the first people who did that were doing something revolutionary. It's gotten to the point where now to paint flowers is revolutionary. Flowers now is to mirror situations that are all around you, to choose to paint beauty. So that's a political statement.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really, you know, some people...
Well, how do you react maybe to other people's abstract work? I mean, they have no images.
Well, I'm really used to seeing abstract work. I've been seeing it since I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of it is very beautiful. And I've learned a lot from it. for me personally, it's not enough for my to express myself. It's not enough. And like I say, I'm not comfortable with it. I don't feel that. You know, if I do something that looks abstract, it's, to me, it's an exercise to learn a technique or something. But it's not a full expression of what I want to say, because I need to express myself through form and content. And no content, or just strictly formless content, isn't something that I need to say right now. I think, you know, it's been said a lot better by other people. I'm more interested in something else. But that doesn't mean that I haven't been influenced by it, or I don't love looking at it.
But you don't paint yourself.
No, it doesn't interest me to paint myself.
Have you?
Yeah, I did abstract paintings, kind of like Elizabeth Murray, when I was a student here at Barnard. And stopped doing them when I got out of school. Actually, I went to graduate school, and my first year in graduate school, I continued to do those paintings.
Where were you in graduate?
I went to Columbia.
Oh, okay.
And then, during that summer, the paintings just like kind of, and everyone loved them. The teachers loved them. Everyone thought they were great. They were really light and bright and funny. And that during that summer, I was working for a living moving furniture, and I was driving around a lot in New Jersey and in the wastelands, and also having these incredible experiences of using the service door and, you know, just a different kind of perception of class than I, you know, had. I mean, going into the kinds of buildings like I had grown up in, except not being able to go in the front and that kind of stuff. And also driving around New Jersey in the kind of industrial wasteland that's out there. And I started trying to paint that stuff because I thought that was a lot more interesting than my paintings. And from there, I started doing these paintings about technology. They weren't paintings anymore, they were drawings about how things worked and what they were. And then I went into doing the things that were like classes of objects, like the male and female ones that I showed, the first slide that I showed, which was about, you know, making kind of subtle differences with the
so
art class of objects.
School.
Yeah.
You graduated recently then?
83. So the first 3 slides of artwork of mine were done at Columbia.
Did you take any printing at Columbia in the graduate school?
No.
No.
I know him though, I moved him.
Are you serious? You moved him?
Are you collaborating?
Yeah, you came later, right? You might have just missed the section that you showed of slides of the mural that we recently completed, well, last summer. Village, and we've gotten a grant to do another one this summer.
Have you just thought of a site for the new one?
Yeah,
we have a site. It's on 4th Street between C and D. Come and visit us. We'll be there in July and August. Can't miss us. It's the exact address is 353 East 4th Street.
And you've been down there.
There's a church in the prison, a little park there.
You've
yeah,
got it. That's
yeah,
exactly where it is.
Yeah,
it's really, really beautiful.
Really?
Ah.
The building with the pool table in the
back? No, it's right on the corner of D and Fog. Actually, if you need some rest to the stage, she's going to ask.
Really?
No, but that's nice. With all those flat buildings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look across, and it's just, you know, blocks of just flat land.
Yeah.
Well, again, there's this priest. There's this priest that has done this incredible thing of making that park. As you know, you've seen it, right? It's these 2 rows of willow trees in this totally devastated area with this like playhouse that he's built for kids and a swing with a pitched roof and these like bricked walkways. I mean, it's a phenomenon.
There's a little altar in the back with the Virgin Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a phenomenon. So we approached him.
It's a very peaceful little spot.
Yeah.
And he said, great, what's going to be the theme of it?
I think we're going to do something about kind of the children in the neighborhood.
And their Latin roots compared to
to New
where
York.
They live now.
Yeah.
By the time the mural is completed, will there be any Latin children left in the neighborhood?
That's a good question.
Well,
because the way the rents are going there, the gentrification
right.
piece of it. Just
maybe
become an exotic piece.
Well, at least there will be a document of them.
Well, I've heard rumors that the city might sell those projects, but along Avenue D, there are a lot of projects, and those people aren't going anywhere. I mean, I've heard these rumors, but I don't can't believe the city will get away with that, yeah. But they might, you know, they've gotten away with all kinds of other stuff.
Eventually, but they will.
Right.
It's really corrupted with just all the years.
Oh, it's phenomenal. And, you know, the drug dealing continues. I mean, if you hang out on the street, you can figure out who they all are. You know, I don't know why the cops don't know, you know.
They know.
Yeah, I'm sure they know.
Do
I mean, it's just a joke.
Third Street? Third Street, walk in down Third Street, see limousines.
I used to live on Second Street, I know. I mean, it's wild. It's really wild.
And there, you know, we have had, working on the last mural, we found that there was a lot of hostility toward us when we first went there, two white girls coming down there to make a painting, and they sort of grew to know us and appreciate us and consider us as friends through the summer. We went to the new site and we were trying to figure out like who the buildings belonged to and get the name together so we could get permission to put on our grant proposal. And we went to the building, and there were two black men coming out of the building, and we asked them if they knew who owned the building, and if they could, you know, tell us, because before we even got a chance to explain why we wanted to know, they said, "What do you want to know for? You want to buy it or something? You want to kick us out?" So
we have a big PR job
easy.
To do.
It's not going to be easy.
What was their reaction once you explained to them that?
Well, they didn't give us a chance to explain anything.
Who did you get your grant from?
We got one from Manhattan Community Arts Fund, and we got another from a group called Art Matters. We're also applying to NISCA, Chase Manhattan Bank, and the Barbara Deming Fund for Women.
Connie.
Throw Mobile at
the end. We want this
for the next project, maybe we'll go to Mobile.
The last project, we donated our time, and we had to work during the day, during the week, freelance jobs to be able to support that kind of an expensive habit. And this year, we're trying to do it a different way. We're trying to get paid for our time so we don't have to, you know, be doing other unrelated things. In the meantime, we can really more dedicate ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
True. But, you know, we spent 2 months in the last one. When the last stroke was on the wall, we had this very empty feeling like we had to leave behind all these people that we had been spending all this time with. And,
the experience
really
of doing it was a very, very kind of exciting experience, because people who don't usually look at painting got pretty interested in what we were doing. A lot of it was because we were there for a long time and they got to know us and they got to watch it go up and they got to see like their photograph and then their picture done and they got to, you know, see the grid. You know, it was like a slow process and they got to observe the whole thing and they were involved.
How interesting about that was that when there was this kid fighting about the Sierra, some arts friends of mine said, you know, people have to live with something for a long time before they can say they like it or they don't like it. This is so stupid. And I always felt that, you know, people should have some control over their environment. Mm-hmm. And that's just the position, you know, they have to be. I love that Sarah piece, but I was torn by whether, you know, you should impose something
on
people. People can't stand it, you know. So how do they know they can't stand it until they really give it a chance to live? So the fact of working with the people.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, people don't always understand perhaps what we're getting at politically in the work.
Yeah, we imposed our politics on them.
As long as they relate
absolutely.
To, yeah, but they become interested in asking us what's going on and having a dialogue about what they think and about what we think. And one day I came riding up on my bike and there were two black women that live in the neighborhood. They were looking at it, younger black women, and I rode up and she said, "Oh, there's one of them. And she said, "Yeah, my friend was telling me that two white girls made this and I couldn't believe it."
That's great. Did you spend time looking at the other murals that were put up in the early 1900s, like the post office murals?
Yeah, that was one of the things that we wanted to to avoid. The mural movement has become sort of a WPA offspin, and mural painting is very derivative a lot of times of that, and Diego Rivera, and that's been repeated over and over and over again. We wanted to do a mural that didn't do that, that didn't have that kind of style and content to it. We wanted to do a mural that was more like what our real work is when we work in the studio. There's a lot of people do one kind of work in the studio and then they paint into something else that looks like the WPA on a wall, as if that's the only kind of mural you can make. We wanted to kind of avoid that.
But I just also want to say that I mean, I specifically went to Mexico to see the Rivera murals. And then I'm very, very interested in all of the Mexican muralists in terms of the integration of art and politics. And that was a very important source. And if I'd done a different sort of sequence of my, my work, I might have talked about that to show me that, that it is possible, that it can be done, and that... And also the thing about Rivera, I mean, a lot of people like Orozco more, but the thing about, to me, about Rivera is it's showing very, very dignified people, and it's images of like, the trying to call back the Aztec history, and it's trying to, showing images of kind of labor and their documentation of how the Aztecs actually did certain things. And
you're doing a lot to Mexico City.
Yeah.
I went to look at, and I got into this town, Morelia, and there are the government buildings that had all of these wonderful murals, but they had been co-opted with this corrupt PRI party. You have taken on, well, like, we're for labor, they took on the propaganda of the revolution as theirs, and they have all these images. They are so venal in themselves, and they have the images of the muralists serving their party. There was something so disturbing about that you go into the courthouse, and there goes around the staircase. I mean, there's really environmental law. They have this priest that was martyred in Moray, early days of the 19th century and middle of the 19th century, and all the slogans that are part of, you have the text in with the pictures, it all speaks artistically, it's so strong and effective, and it's being co-opted and used. It's like, when people said they didn't want to make art that would be hung on bank walls or in front of, corporate
buildings.
Right,
I want something that's unacceptable
and
to Citibank.
Here's the political art, and it has been co-opted, and it's very strong, and it's very powerful, and it is being used to perpetuate.
But that's true here, too.
The party uses it to show as their strength.
Because that's here too. I mean, you have, Chase Manhattan Bank buying, John Ahern pieces and Barbara Kruger pieces, and, they're for investment and...
They're the major patron.
Yeah.
Have you been to the IBM Gallery you're talking about?
Right, they did. They did a Diego Rivera show, right?
Yes, they did.
Talk about neutralized content.
Yeah, but the Ford financed Diego Rivera too.
Yeah, but then they... Then when he put Lenin in, they painted it out. True.
Yeah, when I was
that's the Ford one, right?
I
said.
I went down and saw him painting.
Really?
That was during the time. It was a big hullabaloo in the paper about how ugly he was. And I wrote a letter to this column in the Detroit News and said, I thought they would be ugly. I was on the side of the Angels. I think I had a fairly sophisticated art teacher in high school.
One of the things that does interest me about how art history reads at the moment versus how it reads, 30, 40, 50 years later, is that, I mean, Diego Rivera had a big show at the Modern. He's got all this work in the Museum of Modern Art.
Sure.
And yet you open, I mean, there's like one little picture up in the wall at the Modern, right, versus like zillions of these, huge abstract expressionist paintings and these. And it's like he might have been considered very important at the time, but he's sort of slowly kind of being written out of... Exactly, it's being written out of sort of importance and dropped out of anthologies and dropped out of the Modern, even though they own more of his work. And
well, Frida Kahlo's now considered a better painter.
Yeah, I mean,
that's true.
Moment, she's made an enormous comment.
True, but it shouldn't be one or the other.
No,
you know what I mean? I think we could get rid of
his wife, and now she's her husband.
Mm-hmm. One of the reasons I wanted to show these pictures from this coloring book is I find it a little disturbing in Frida Kahlo's work, the pain and the agony of being a woman. And I wanted to have sort of a more sort of joyous, sexual, happy, freer kind of image, but also that wasn't stereotyped. And I think that these cartoons do that very well. Linda Barry.
Yeah, they're great.
Right. And the name of the photographer,
Sarah Drury.
Sarah. She works in New York?
In Brooklyn. She lives in Brooklyn.
I was, my response, I didn't see because I came in, but I came in and was out of the world. Your presentation spoke to like my whole career at the school I teach in, and the, all the issues that came up.
Where do you teach?
I teach at the High School of Art and Design.
Huh.
I'm a social studies teacher,
mm-hmm.
and I teach a course, which is a senior option, which is being slowly eroded and wiped out, in history through art.
Hmm.
So I did art history from the caves to abstract expressionism in one term, history
mm-hmm.
and the art. Now I just do the art, not the history, because they have the history now.
Mm-hmm.
It's originally to replace was that had been wiped out with the budget crunch. So I have these all these commercial art kids who either don't go to museums or have no interest in fine arts, and then the question between the fine arts and the whole question of what is art that the women's movement has really focused.
Mm-hmm.
I have this course that deals with the masterpieces by a couple of white men in three countries. And so I'm trying now, I was in a seminar last year, a women's studies seminar, that asked me to do a project on women's, on how I would change my course.
Mm-hmm.
I am this other woman did this workshop on that. So I put together slides of women artists, which I never got a chance to show my class because of the time schedule. But it was so staid when I finished. But all the women who saw it thought it was great because they really weren't in touch with art from 1950 on, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they only knew one or two names, and this was all unfamiliar, but it was all women worthies, and it was very square and staid. I said, I have to work on it. And you brought in all these issues. Now, the issue that interested me the most is the combination. You see, the school I work in used to have people who stressed fine art. Their idea was Rembrandt. And
right.
So they got the kids who were not so commercial to come with them and reify Rembrandt. And then reify the academic 19th century painters.
Right.
Their own work was WPAR, but with a dull palette. These were dear friends of mine. And they put down all the abstract work. So my crusade was to get kids to understand that art was more than painting garbage cans or doing the advertisements. So then I went to, I tried to fight that battle. We had, you know, why are you taking them to the Museum of Modern Art? And some kids were scared about going there. So, because they saw it as I was trying to push something over on them that, like, you know, as if they were Jews in a cathedral, you know. And it was that
mm-hmm.
fight. So then I felt, well, the women's fight wasn't taking up all these political fights that I was fighting as a social studies teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So teaching the art conflicted with that. And
right.
last week, when I said, you got to read the Georgia O'Keeffe Obed, but before that, to read about Haley's comment and about the Contra Aid, which is coming up, and a lot of kids in the class, who I taught as freshmen are now seniors, right? And I taught them global history, and we went through all the political issues, and you have no right to bring that up here. This is art history. Why are you bringing that up? And then they turned on it, and I thought those pictures particularly of the man reading the paper with the Guatemalan woman
mm-hmm.
and the class, the question you asked about gender and class in the women's studies workshop that I took, the major theme was in teaching whatever you teach, that there are phases you go through, and that if you start looking for the women, if you get past women as victims, you start looking for how did women lead their lives ordinarily, you get to everybody, all the old people, all the young people, all the men of color that have been left out of history and
mm-hmm.
these studies, to get to come in when you start exploring the life of women. And that you can take it apart from class and race. The issues apply. And I couldn't get over how every one of these points that I've been fighting for the last 20 years, you hit in this work.
Well, I'm glad that if I did. And again, I mean, I had Kate Stimson as a teacher, and I think she, you know, taught me well. I mean, the tolerance, I mean, women will not kind of move forward unless there's a tolerance of difference and plurality and an acknowledgement of it. And that's not just for women.
I wish you could come down to the school and...
Well, if you can get them to get in, together in a room, I'll come.
I might be able to.
What time is the next party?
Yeah, it's now.
4:30.
Let's move on.
Right.
right now.
So thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks for
Thank you.
Thank you.